Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pena, and I am bringing you today's word for August 13th, 2026. If you're new here, in December of 1997, the Lord told me to take his word and put it in people's email inbox and call it today's word. Well, that was December 1997. Back then, not a lot of people had email. I started with 8 people on email. It's grown over the years. The videos started in 2010. We literally had thousands of videos on YouTube, thousands of videos on our podcast, and we do this 5 days a week. So as I'm sharing the word with you this morning, we're going through a series. This is called Discovering Destiny, Part 30. We're being led by the Holy Spirit to discern things to pull out of the story of Jacob. At some point, I'll move on from Jacob, but right now we're studying his life. And yesterday's message was powerful about the power of your words. The two messages before that was about the power of your thoughts. And then today I'm dealing with being led by the Holy Spirit or being led by God, where we watch this. The title of today's message is Move on a Word, Not a Wound. What we want to do, listen, in life, if you live long enough, people are going to do you wrong. If you live long enough, there's going to be moments and circumstances and situations where people plotted and they planned against you. They were scheming against you, or they tried to get over on you, or for whatever reason, people just did you wrong. And when that happens, it does hurt because we're humans. And so there may be some wounds, but as a believer, born again believer, spirit-filled believer, right? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. What we can't do is live our lives in the flesh. The Bible says that once we're born again, really, we are actually naturally supernatural because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our connection to the Father. And so the Holy Spirit we can get our orders from headquarters. However, we also have a flesh. And so at that point, once we're born again, we're supposed to be naturally supernatural. And if you're operating in the flesh, it's not that you're being natural. So, oh, well, I'm natural to this world. No. You're natural to God's world. You're naturally supernatural. It's not that you're being natural, you're being carnal. The Bible says you're being carnal, and to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what we want to do is we want to be led by the Holy Spirit so that even when people do us wrong, our focus is on God. We want to do whatever God tells us to do. We're not moved by them. Oh, do it this way now. Okay, I'll do it that way. Now do it this way now. Okay, I'll do it that way. No, but I told you to do this. And God is like, don't say nothing. Just keep, okay, I'll do that. Why? Because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. And what I can't do is allow myself to get offended and to operate from a place of a wound instead of from God's word. And we're called to walk and live by faith. And living by faith requires you to know the will of God. I got to stand on a word from God. So put in the chat, I only move when God speaks. I only move on a word. This is going to be good. Open up your heart to receive. All right, so let's get into it. I have some foundational scriptures for you. And you know what? What's interesting when we do something like this, like we're studying the life of Jacob, is that the story of Jacob is not an unfamiliar story to a lot of Christians. You probably heard this in Sunday school, going back to when you were a child. But what the Holy Spirit allows me to do is point out things in the story that maybe most people don't pay attention to. And we're learning things about Jacob, and we're learning things about God, and we're learning things about ourselves. So let me give you the foundational scriptures for this year first. 2 Peter 3:18 from the Good News Translation says, but continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Luke 10 and 20 says, it's time for you to rediscover who you are from heaven's perspective. Don't live your life based on this world's perspective. This world will try to tell you that this is their expectation of you based on your skin color, your gender, your age, your socioeconomic status, where you came from. I don't live my life based on this world's opinion. I let God tell me who I am, and I believe what God believes about me. 1 John 3 and 10 says, there is a very visible and vast difference between living your life from God's identity and living your life from a fallen man's mindset. Don't let this world define you, because they did not design you. Proverbs 25 and 2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to go search it out. As a believer, we need to go search things out. How do we search it out? Jeremiah 29 and 13, the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Those are the scriptures for the year. We've been meditating on those scriptures all year. Now, let me give you the scriptures for today. Genesis 31, verse 3, New Living says, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your father and your grandfather and to your relatives there, and I will be with you. After 20 years, God says, okay, now I want you to go back. That was a key scripture for today, but there's a lot surrounding it. Genesis 31 and 13 says, I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel. Remember that encounter with the angels and the ladder, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and you made a vow to me. Remember that place? Now get ready to leave this country and return to the land of your birth. Genesis 28, backing up a little bit, verse 15, the Bible says, what's more, I am with you and I will protect you everywhere you go. One day, this is that encounter at Bethel. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until you have finished everything that I have promised you. Listen, you're going to go? At that point, he had nothing. He had a stick. He had the blessing and he had a stick. And God says, hey, man, you're going to go. One day you're going to come back. But when you come back, you're not going to come back until I've done everything that I promised to do in your life. And so 20 years later, God is like, okay, now I'm ready for you to go back. Genesis 31 verses 7 through 9 from the New Living says, I'm going to really break this down later, but this is what he says. This is Jacob explaining to his two wives that their father was cheating him. So he says, hey, he has cheated me. He changed my wages 10 times, but God has not allowed him to do me any harm. For if he said, the speckled animals will be your wages, then all of a sudden, the whole flock became speckled. And then he would change up and say, no, not the speckled. How about the striped animals are going to be your wages? And then God will make sure that the whole flock came out striped. In this way, God has taken away your father's animals and he's given them to me. There's been a transfer of wealth. And now we have it. This is him speaking to his wives about their father. Genesis 31 and 42, the Bible says, if the God of my father had not been on my side, this is now Jacob speaking to his father-in-law. He said, yeah, I'm about to leave. And you know what? If it was not for the God of my father, because obviously you've been worshiping idols and God's been blessing you because of me. But if it were not for the God of my father, you would have sent me away empty-handed. I know what you would have done. If it was up to you, when it's time for me to leave, you would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen your abuse and my hard work, and God has blessed me. Isaiah 30, verse 21, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, listen, you're going to hear a voice. This is in the Old Testament. This is before New Testament, before the Holy Spirit. The Lord is saying, listen, right behind you, you're going to hear a voice. When you need to make a decision, you're going to hear a voice. This is the way that you should go. And then you're going to know whether or not to go to the right or to the left, because the Lord is going to speak to you. Romans 12 and 19, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that righteous anger to God. For the scripture says, the Lord says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. So that's not on you. Revenge, leave that alone. God is the God of justice and recompense. So what do I do, Brother Pena? 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, therefore, humble yourself, demote yourself, in your own estimation. Make yourself low under the mighty hand of God. And you know what's going to happen? God will exalt you in due season. And then Philippians 4 and 6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So before Laban ever got ready, saddled the camel to leave, the Lord took him back to remember what had happened in Bethel. Yes, he could see that his brother-in-laws were grumbling. They were calling a miracle a robbery. They were saying that he didn't steal nothing. He could tell that Laban's face and his countenance had shifted. He could tell that the atmosphere had shifted. He could tell that he was getting the cold shoulder from his father-in-law and from his brothers-in-law. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't do anything. He kept serving. He kept just honoring the Lord. And then finally, the Lord said to Jacob in Genesis 31 and 3, return to the land of your father and your grandfather and your relatives there, and I'm going to be with you. And with that sentence, that's it. Once he heard from the Lord, hey, it's time to go. Then even though, watch this, prior to that, he sensed the cold shoulder. Prior to that, he sensed, the look on his face and how they were treating him. But watch this, he could not move until God told him to move. You can't be moved by the flesh. You can't be moved by wounds. You can't be moved by offense. Don't allow yourself to get offended. No, you can only move when God tells you to move. Say amen to that. So what does this mean for you today? You know what? Today, I really want to take my time. So I'm giving you 3 points and not four, because I want to develop and just kind of unpack this for you. You ready? Three things. Number one, here we go. Let God's voice, not your hurt, not your pain, lead your decision-making. If you want to make a decision, you know what? You need to hear from God. You need to let God's voice drive and lead your decision-making. Here's the part that I don't want you to miss. Jacob heard the grumblings of his brothers-in-law. He felt the atmosphere shift. He could see that his father-in-law was treating him different, right? But he didn't move until God told him to move. Like, what you don't want to do is operate in the flesh. You don't want to operate in your feelings. You don't want to operate because you're wounded. You don't want to operate because you're upset. You don't want to operate. You don't want to make decisions that way. As a born-again, spirit-filled believer, we don't live like that. You know what we do? We keep honoring God. We keep doing what's right because it's right, doing it right, and believing that God is either going to turn the situation around here or he'll tell us to shift. But if we shift, we're only going to shift because he told us to shift. At the end of the day, we're only going to do whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to do. So it wasn't that jealousy sent him home, like his brother-in-laws were jealous. It wasn't that the cold shoulder from his father-in-law sent him home. No, the voice of God sent him home. Like, at the end of the day, if you're going to do something, don't do it because people are talking bad about you. Don't do it because, you know, the way that they looking at you. No, if you're going to do something, you got to hear from God. Yesterday, we saw that the wrong voice, like you allowing yourselves to get frustrated and saying something in the flesh. We saw what that could do, right? In Gilead, there was a pressure-filled situation. We looked at that yesterday. And Jacob was in that stressful, pressure-filled situation. He spoke death over his wife and he didn't even realize it. He wasn't at peace. He wasn't being led by the Holy Ghost. He operated in the flesh and he spoke death over his wife and his wife wound up dying. Rachel, what did she do? In her pressure-filled situation, she was about to die. And so she says, name him Ben-Oni, which means son of sorrow, right? In her pain, she spoke. And she spoke out of her pain and she wanted to basically pronounce something negative over this child for the rest of his life. Thankfully, Jacob said, no, let's call him Benjamin. But in both cases, they were not being led by God. They were being led by pain. They were being led by stress. They were being led by wounds. And as a believer, you can't live that way. You can't afford to live that way. Never allow hurt or pain to cause you to make a decision in the flesh. Well, Brother Pena, Rick, don't people offend you? Don't people do things wrong to you? Absolutely. Don't people talk about you? Yes, they do. But that doesn't mean that I have to operate in the flesh. That doesn't mean that I have to get offended. That doesn't mean, like, I can see that sometimes people do change towards you. I can see that sometimes, you know, somebody that was really tight before, maybe they're not tight now, or you can see an atmosphere and you're like, Lord, what's going on there? But what you don't want to do is operate in the flesh. You just want to ask God and you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. God's voice will provide you the revelation that you need. Yes, this world, you can see things, that's information. What you need is revelation. Don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling. Let me ask you some questions before you make a decision. Because, before I started like the official message, we have this portion of the live stream where we pray. And one of you this morning actually asked me to pray for you to have discernment because you're in a situation and you're praying about leaving, right? So my question is, not only for her, but for all of you, have you prayed about it? Like before you get, don't make a decision in the flesh. Don't even allow your flesh to cause you to speak out of frustration. Don't this is what I'm going to do. Or like a situation that I heard somebody recently talk about. Oh, if this person does, I'm a sue them. Okay, well, I understand you're operating in the flesh. And maybe a legal action is warranted, but how about we pray about it first? At the end of the day, we just need to pray about it. Have you spent time in God's presence? Are you waiting for an answer? Has the Holy Spirit spoken? Because before you launch out in the flesh, please wait for God to speak. We're not called to live by feelings. We're called to live by faith. And faith requires a word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So as a born-again believer, as a spirit-filled believer, you have to stand and watch this. Here's a scripture. Be still and know that I'm God. You got to be still. You can't be moved. You can't be moved by what people have done to you. You can't be moved by what people have said to you. You can't be moved by how people treated you. At the end of the day, you can only be moved by God. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, you're going to hear a voice that says, this is the way that you should go. So at the end of the day, you got to say, Lord, your word promises that I can hear your voice. You said in your word, Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So Father, I need to hear your voice in this situation. I don't want to move based on hurt and pain or offense. No, I want to move based on the word, regardless of how people have treated me. See, hurt knows how to make you leave, but only God can speak to you about where you're going. So don't just jump out and say you're leaving or you're disconnecting or you're moving or you're doing this or you're doing that, or I'm going to do this to her or I'm going to do this to him. Listen, you got to wait on God. If God said it, then yeah, you can step out. But just know that in this situation, as an example, it took 20 years. God told them, you're going to come back here at some point. And then he left with nothing but a stick. And it took 20 years for him to come back. See, you got to know when God is speaking and when God is not speaking. And so what you want to do is hold on to the voice of God. And when God tells you to move, you can move. And when he tells you to move, it will be a tremendous harvest, but you don't want to get out ahead of God and you don't want to fall behind God. Say amen to that. Number two, you see, I'm taking my time. Ooh, I'm taking my time with this. Number two, before God moved him forward, he took him back to Bethel. Before God moved him forward, he took him back to Bethel. He said, hey, before you leave, I want to remind you that I'm the God that appeared to you at Bethel. Remember that place where you saw the angels going up and down the ladder? Remember that place where you said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me? Do you remember that place where you anointed a pillar of stone and you made a vow to me back 20 years ago? See, sometimes back when you were just a runaway, back when you used a rock for a pillow, Remember that? And I showed up. Yeah, sometimes God has to take us back to the encounters that we've had with him. This is why you have to have altars of remembrance in your life. This is why you got to remember what God said. You got to remember what God did. You can't just know God from a book. You have to know God in real life. And so a lot of times before God gives you the new instruction, he will take you back to an old promise and he will remind you of what he said 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Listen, there are moments I've shared with you that there's some things that I've been waiting on and it's taken a long time. And sometimes it looks like it's getting worse. It looks like it may not even happen. And I have to go back to what God said to me years ago. And at the end of the day, if it happens, then God said it. If it does happen, then maybe I missed it. But either way, I'm going to be led by God. I'm not going to operate in the flesh. God takes me back sometimes to move forward. He has to remind me of what he said. He took him back to Bethel. He was like, you remember 20 years ago when you had nothing? Do you remember 20 years ago when you just had a stick? Do you remember when the angels were coming up and down that ladder? Come on now. Do you remember that time? Do you remember you're going through something right now? Yes, I understand you're going through something right now. I understand maybe they talked about you, they did you wrong, they're doing things that you don't like, all kinds of stuff. I got it. I understand that. But you got to be anchored. Your next step may be anchored to a previous altar. Sometimes God has to remind you of what he's already done in your life, remind you of an old encounter to prepare you for a new season. And so God will go back and say, go back and remember this. I got it. God will remind you of your past to propel you into your future. And because every word that God has ever spoken over you is still good. Remember, and God took him back because God was saying, do you remember that I said, hey, one day you're going to come back to this land? Well, that word was 20 years ago, and that word is still good. When God spoke something over your life 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that word is still good. I don't care if you hit rock bottom. I don't care if you feel like things are not working out right now. Every word that God has ever spoken over your life, that word is still good. God has spoken a promise over him 20 years earlier. God said, one day I'm going to bring you back to this land, and I'm not going to leave you until I've done everything I promised to do in your life. And guess what? 20 years later, he was like, now it's time. God never gives you a new word that breaks an old promise. Ooh, let me pull the string on this point. God will never give you a new word that breaks an old promise. This is a critical point because our God is completely congruent. Put in the chat, congruent. Every word that God gives you today has to be congruent with everything he's ever spoken over your life, because the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the word of God. The Spirit of God would never lead you contrary to the word of God. So when I say word here, I don't mean just written word, 66 books of the Bible. I mean every word that God has ever spoken over your life. If God gave you a dream while you were sleeping, an open vision while you were awake, a prophetic word through somebody else, every word that God has ever given to you is the word of God for you. And God will never say something new that cancels out something old. God will never say something new that is incongruent with something that he said a long time ago. If God said it, he will perform it. God does not contradict himself. So notice the promise. He says, guess what? I am going to be with you. The same thing I told you 20 years ago, I'm telling you now. Some of you are asking God for a new word, whereas God has to keep reminding you of the old word because the old word still stands. So you got to go back. And what did God say? Like, what did God say? Whatever God said before, that word is still good and is preparing you for the future. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. God always finishes what he starts. Number three, so I could let you go, but I'm going to take my time in this third point. God kept the books the whole time. Brother Rick, you don't understand. They doing me wrong in my job. Brother Rick, you don't understand. They doing me wrong in my church. Brother Rick, you don't understand. These people are like, once upon a time, we were cool, but now they're shifting towards me. They're saying stuff about me. They're talking about me behind my back. There's things, these people promised me something and now it's not happening. All of this stuff. God keeps records. I just want to remind you that. God keeps good records. While God doesn't want you to keep good records of bad things, put in the chat, say, I refuse to keep good records of bad things. God keeps records though. So when Jacob called Rachel and Leah out of the field, he said, hey, listen, I need to tell you, what's up? You know, I've been here with 20 years with your dad, right? Yes. This is Genesis 31. I don't normally do this. I'm going to read verses 4 through 13 from the Easy to Read version. That's a lot of verses, but I need you to get the context. I really need you to understand the story. So Jacob gets his two wives and says, I need to tell y'all something about your father. Okay, what's up? Hey, babe, what's up? All right. So he says this. The Bible says, so Jacob told Rachel and Leah to meet him in the field where he kept his flocks of sheep and goats. And they did. And he said to them, I've noticed that your father is not as friendly to me as he used to be. But the God of my father has been with me the whole time. So I'm not worried about it. You both know that I have worked as hard as I can for your father. But this man keeps cheating me. He changed my pay 10 times. You know that, right? Yeah, we know that. But during all this time, God protected me from all of Laban's tricks. You know, at one time, you know what your father said? Okay, you can keep all the goats, but only the ones that have spots on it. That's going to be your pay. And guess what God did? As soon as he said that, God gave me all the new goats that were coming out that were being born. They had spots. So they were all mine. And then Laban said, no. Let's change it up. No, now you can have the striped goats. That's going to be your pay. And after he said that, guess what? All the babies that were born were striped. At the end of the day, God has a way of transferring the wealth of your father over to me, over to us. You know, I had a dream during the times when the animals were mating, and I saw that the only the male goats were mating were the ones with stripes and spots. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream. And the angel said, Jacob? And I said, yes. And the angel said, look, only the striped and spotted goats are mating. I'm causing this to happen. I have seen all the wrong things that Laban has been doing to you. For 20 years, I've been keeping records. Heaven is keeping records. The angel said, I'm doing this so that you can have all the new baby goats. And I am the God who came to you at Bethel. And there you made an altar, you poured olive oil on it, and you made a promise to me. Now, I want you to go back to that country where you were born. You see, Laban had 20 years of schemes and plots and tricks, but God had 20 years of records. See, I want you to know that the angel said, I have seen how Laban has treated you. God is paying attention. There were 10 wage changes in those 20 years, but 10 wage changes could not stop God's blessing. See, God is paying attention. Look at me. God is paying attention to how people treat you. Every scheme, every broken promise, every year you were overlooked, God saw it all. And the angel said, I have seen how Laban has treated you. Jacob said to himself when he was talking to his father-in-law, look, if it was up to you, you would have let me leave empty-handed. But God is not going to let me leave empty-handed. God said he was going to bless me, the God of my fathers. So I'm going to leave here wealthy. Jacob never stole an animal. He never attempted to sabotage his father-in-law. He just kept serving and he let God do the rest. He wasn't trying to get him back. He didn't watch this. He didn't seek revenge and he did not seek vindication. See, revenge and vindication are not your job. You got to leave all of that to God. It's not your job to talk bad about people. It's not your job to try to get them back. It's not your job to, none of that. You just do what God says and let God handle the rest. Romans 12 and 19, the Bible says, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. You don't have to fight your battles. You don't have to fight against your Laban. What man withholds from you, God has a way of transferring to you. So let me just say this, because you're like, well, Rick, you don't understand. Right now, I'm in the middle. Oh, there's so many things. Well, don't judge your story by the middle of it. Think about all the stories in the Bible. Don't judge your story by the middle of it. If right now you're in the middle of it, like there's something that Isabel and I are praying about that we need an answer this morning. If you're in the middle of it right now, don't judge the story by the middle of it. At the end of the day, keep your mind fixed and focused on God. Don't worry about how people treated you. God is the God of justice and recompense. You can do the right thing. You could do what's right because it's right and then do it right every time. You could push through it. You could stand on the word. You could believe God for the breakthrough. And you just know that God, He knows how to get justice and recompense. He knows that if people are sowing bad seed, they're going to get a bad harvest. That's not your fault. That's not something you need to focus on. All you need to focus on is, I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm not going to move by a wound. I'm going to move by a word. I'm not going to move because I'm offended. I'm going to move by a word. I'm not going to move because I'm upset. I'm not going to operate in the flesh. I'm just going to move by the word of God. Say amen to that. Man, this was a good word. My God, this is a good word. Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. Say this, say, Father, I move by your word, never by my wounds. I never allow hurt or pain to lead me to make a decision I should not make. Yes, I can sense an atmosphere. That's information. But your voice gives me revelation. And wherever you send me, your presence is with me. The God who met me at Bethel is leading me now. You have kept the books, Father. You know everything that's been going on. So I don't need justice. I don't need to try to go get justice and recompense. You're the God of justice and recompense. You will see to it that I reap a harvest on every seed sown. And whatever man tried to withhold from me, you have a way of transferring it to me. So I don't move by wounds. I move by your word. I stand in faith without a doubt, without wavering. I walk by faith and not by feelings. And greater is coming to me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word. Please apply it and prosper. Listen, I need you to do three things real quick. Leave me some comments in the chat if this message was a blessing to you. I believe it was. Number two, share it on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. Number three, listen to this outro video. If you don't have my books, go to rickpina.co. If you're not a partner, go to ripministries.org. If you don't have this kind of stuff, go to thegracelife.store. I love you. God loves you more. I'll see you tomorrow. This was good, y'all. This was really good. This is a message you might need to listen to again and share it with all your friends. God bless you. Thank you for watching the Grace Life Podcast. There's a few things that I want to make you aware of. First of all, if you would like to support our ministry and especially support what we're doing in the Dominican Republic, well, we have over 235 children in a school getting a Christ-based education free of charge. We're paying for everything. Our ministry does that out of the love of God and all of our partners that are supporting it. You can go to ripministries.org and make a donation, and all your donations are tax deductible in the United States. Also, I have some books that are available to you in audio form and also in paperback or hardcover. So go to Amazon.com and just search for Rick Pina, or you can go to rickpina.co. And when you go there, you'll be able to see the links. You can get a book that I wrote called Level Up Your Life, where you can level up your life in five areas of your life. There's a devotional guide that will lead you to experience grace-based success. And if you want assistance with declaring the word of God over your family and your finances and your health and your career, you should get 150 affirmations for men or 150 affirmations for women. And we have lots of other books and journals and other content that can be a blessing to you. People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, how do I get a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or some of those things that I see you wear? Well, you can go to thegracelife.store. We've partnered with a brand new store. The quality of the materials are a lot better. Please go to thegracelife.store. And you can get all of our products there. Not only that, but at the top of the gracelife.store, there's a link to books. And when you click on books, it'll take you right to all of our products on Amazon as well. Finally, listen, people have been coming to Isabella and I for mentorship for many, many years. And the Lord led me a few years ago to take some of the content that we've been mentoring others with. And instead of just saying it over the phone or on a video call, we've been recording this content and publishing it. We have well over 1,000 videos at this point, and a lot of the videos have a PDF handout that goes along with them. So we publish all of this content on our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. There's different ways to join. At the lowest level, you have access to all the content. At another level, if you want to have one-on-one sessions with Isabel and I, you can do that too. So if you would like to be mentored by us, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.